The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I bet you didn't know that today is National Fried Chicken Day. So it
you know, I've often wondered when National Fried Chicken Day was, and I'm happy to know that it's today.
So it would have been appropriate for you to bring in some...
or at least some biscuits and gravy
something
or something to go...
finger-licking good, right? Yeah. It was great to get some rain yesterday, even if it was for about 10 minutes up at our house. But then the wind really has been...
Sort of a surprise appearance of the monsoon. I don't think a lot of people expected it.
No, I don't think there was much of a percentage, if any, in the forecast yesterday for any showers. Anyway, here we are, Friday. It is July 6, 2018, and we are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We stream our show. That means if you're near a computer, you'll be able to hear this program anywhere in the world. You can podcast or listen to our podcast of the show at buckmastershow.com. And, of course, the live stream is also available at kvoi.com. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, the editor and publisher of that online service, is with me in studio, seated to my right, Dylan Smith. Hey, Dylan.
Hey there.
How was your week, buddy?
It's been a busy week, as really most have been, considering Arizona politics is really the gift that keeps on giving for journalists.
And we're going to talk a little bit about kind of the filing deadline for all those initiatives, turning in those huge boxes full of signatures. How many of them are valid? Well, we'll find out, I guess.
There were quite a few boxes. Of course, much like that, you know, that infamous photo of Trump in the big stack of paper, you know, how much there is there, we'll have to see how many of those SIGs actually come back as valid, and whether these four big initiatives make it on the ballot.
Also, thanks to the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, that's Dan Shear's publication. We may hear from Dan during the hour. Tucson Media Group, thank you very much for their support, and their portfolio of Tucson-based publications includes Tucson Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly. We hope to have United States Representative Raul Grijalva with us for some of his impressions on the tour that he is taking at this very minute of a facility, Dylan, would you call it a detention facility for immigrant youth? Is that fairly accurate?
I don't know about detention facility. It's certainly a place where migrant children who have been detained are being housed. It's not exactly the same as a lot of the infamous, to use that word again, photos that we've seen of kids behind chain link fences and that kind of thing. It's a more longer-term situation, a little bit more hospitable, we are told, and maybe we can get the congressman's take as somebody who's actually been able to get through those doors. They don't let the press in.
No, the press has been waiting outside, and it would not be surprising to me if the congressman was probably meeting with the TV folks right now, and the Arizona Daily Star, Joe Ferguson, is with us in studio today. Joe, you've got one of your reporters over there with a photographer.
Yeah, we do. Perla's over there right now waiting to talk to Congressman Grijalva about this. So we'll have more on what's going on there a little later this afternoon.
So what's the deal, Dylan? Is what's different than this? Well, this facility, I understand, up on Oracle opened in 2014. So what is different than what was going on under the Obama administration housing young people, children, because there was an influx in 2014 of unaccompanied minors who showed up at the border fleeing violence from Central America.
And we are certainly still seeing that. There is not quite the wave we saw 4 years ago of kids showing up without their relatives or without anybody who knew them. What we are seeing, what is different this year, was the really large number of kids who were separated from their families by the U.S. government when they showed up here with them. They weren't unaccompanied, but now they are. They were not held with their parents. They were separated and put into different facilities, sometimes in completely different states. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is that our government really didn't even keep good records of what families belonged with what kids. Now we have these kids being held in places, and we don't even know who their parents are, where they should go to.
Yeah, Joe, the New York Times front page story that separated from families, the records were erased in some cases. So now immigration agents are trying DNA testing to try to match the children to parents. This is a really sad commentary.
It's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching as a parent just to the idea that some kids may never see their parents again.
I mean, so what? These records were... does that go back then to 2014, that this record keeping of that some of these records destroyed?
Well, the government didn't have the same policy that was instituted this spring under the Trump administration of separating children from their families in that way on such a vast scale, especially. All along it's been a difficult situation when you have a kid show up at the border without any family, trying to figure out where they go, and that's been a huge challenge. And in many ways, that's why some kids were, being held by the government, actually held by these nonprofit contractors in many cases, like Southwest Key here in Tucson, while they've tried to figure out where they were supposed to go.
And Joe, we did hear that tour, did you say the tour is over?
It is.
Yeah, okay, the tour is over. So we expect after the congressman meets with some of the media people who are outside, because they were not allowed to go inside.
We've had some access by the press previously to some of the detention centers that are run by the government, especially remember back those photos that have been circulating widely again from 2014 in Nogales, and reporters were allowed in. Only one photographer was allowed in that time. This year, there's been a little bit of press access to those sort of facilities in Texas, but no independent photographers have been allowed. We've only have photos released by the government. But to these facilities that are the longer-term places, run by Southwest Key being the most notable one, they have not allowed any media in at all to see what's going on independently.
Joe Ferguson, yesterday your colleagues in the print media and really all of us that are in the kind of news gathering business took a few moments to reflect on the shooting at the Capital Gazette in Annapolis, Maryland. And there was kind of a moment of silence in newsrooms around the United States. It's troubling that President Trump at a rally in Montana yesterday was back at the attack on journalists, news gatherers, saying that I think he pointed to the crews that were covering him and pointed and said, hey, three-fourths of you are really bad people, something like that.
Yeah, he said that yesterday. It was deeply, profoundly troubling, especially as, it was just at the time that we were having a moment of silence honoring the five slain in Maryland.
So what makes us supposedly really bad people, Dylan?
Well, we are enemies of the people.
Really?
Or so the president would have everyone believe, even though I think if you go look at the United States Constitution, the free press is among the first things listed in our Bill of Rights. And historically, our leaders, our founding fathers included, have said that having a free press is the foundation of our republic. Thomas Jefferson said he would rather have a free press than have any sort of government at all, because we need to know what's going on. And Donald Trump and many of his supporters don't seem to really want to know what's going on. They just want to spout ridiculous slogans.
All right, Joe, let's change gears here. Then we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. First, I want to point out in your political notebook today, it looks like Ann Kirkpatrick is getting some big money, right, from the Democratic Party.
DCCC is officially in the race. They've got organizers on the field, and they are putting their money where their mouth is by backing her second ad on TV, so that she is the only member of the Congressional 2 fight that's actually on the air right now talking to people about her messaging, saying that she will fight Trump and Paul Ryan.
And Matt Hines, you said there were some questions about his donor list. What's that about?
Kirkpatrick's team has suggested that a large blast sent by DeConcini on behalf of Hines hit some of the donors that could only come from Kirkpatrick's list. So they are suggesting that Hines violated FEC law on this. So Hines' team has denied it and said that, you know, when you're out looking for money, there's a lot of different ways to do that, and noted that they actually swapped lists 2 years ago when Hines was running for CD2 and Kirkpatrick was running for Senate. So it's always hard to find Democratic donors, and once you've got a name of somebody who's given in the past, I suspect that's currency in political terms.
There are 8 candidates running in CD2 on the Democratic side, 4 on the Republican side.
7, I think.
Are there 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
At my last count, it was 7.
You know, it's halfway through the day. It might be up to 8.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
somebody else jump in as a write-in?
Well, I've had all of them on the program except for one gentleman who we will meet on Monday, Yahya.
Yahya Uxel.
Yahya Uxel.
Who's a young lawyer with some experience working in China, and he's been sort of running on his knowledge of that and foreign trade, and kind of running a middle line between the much more progressive candidates who are trying to really scramble for votes and Kirkpatrick's very centrist positions.
And he's one of, I guess you could say, 2 really young, fairly young folks.
Yeah.
On the ballot, Billy Kovacs being the other one. And Tom just said that he might be a cello player. No, I don't know, but you're thinking of Yahya Man, right?
Yo-Yo Man.
Yo-Yo Man. No. This is different. Anyway, Yo-Yo Man. Let's take a break right here at 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. Joe Ferguson with me and Dylan Smith, and we'll probably, hopefully, hear from Congressman Grijalva after he finishes his news conference with reporters outside after they've done that tour. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Dr. Don Jorgensen. Also, our monthly visit from the Better Business Bureau. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI. And, of course, we've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We have Joe Ferguson here from the Arizona Daily Star and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. We're talking about the seven candidates for in the CD2 race. And are there any
On the Democratic side.
On the Democratic side. There are going to be three debates, I think, Joe, right?
Hopefully four, but they've got three up that have been scheduled so far.
Anything going with the Republican debates?
No, there's one in 5 days before the actual primary, but nothing before that. It's a little heartbreaking.
So they had any debates?
Sure. They had the one that they wouldn't let Dylan and I in. They had another one where only half the people showed up. And then Dan Scheer did a great job having one down in Green Valley, but Leah was too busy with other events to attend.
Leah Marquez Peterson, the what we would guess would be the front runner. It didn't show for that one.
So those are the three that I'm aware of. There might have been more, but again, they've been flying
I think there have been a couple of small-scale sort of Q&A sessions, and I don't even know how many of those candidates have shown up.
Right. I think there was something in LD10.
And, Tom, I'm trying to do three things here, but this live radio, right, Dylan?
Yeah.
You know, this is what we do. Do we have – okay. We have Dan on the line. Okay, Dan Scheer is with us from the Green Valley News on Saharita Sun. Hey, Dan, how are you? Dan? hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm here, doing great.
Well, we wanted to bring you into the mix here. I know you interviewed Rodney Glassman, ACC candidate. What were some of your impressions? That's kind of a crazy race, isn't it?
It is a crazy race. And then after him, I talked to Jim O'Connor, who also is a Republican in that race. And then we also dug up something on Eric Sloan, who is in that race also, Republican. And Rodney, of course, we talked a lot about what has happened since he left Tucson and left the Democratic Party. And as he put it to me, he said, I grew up. That's how he describes his migration from Democrat to Republican, and just looked at the issues and decided that the Republicans had a better line on it, and certainly acknowledged that while he was in Tucson, he was not a full-fledged card-carrying member of the Democratic Party, at least that's how he wants to portray himself. And he also indicated to me that he did not ever intend to get back into politics when he went up to Phoenix. I'm not so sure that I believe that. I think he likes public policy, and he likes to bat around those types of things. I think he likes the limelight and the attention, and I think he just decided that he was a bigger fish, needed to be in a bigger pond, and that's why he ended up there. It's also his wife's home.
So, Dan, you're saying that somebody who was elected to the Tucson City Council as a Democrat was ran for Senate in the general election, the U.S. Senate, as a Democrat, and then wanted to be the chairman of the Arizona Democratic Party, was not a full-fledged card-carrying Democrat?
I'm saying that he is portraying himself as that, and what he's trying to say...
Are you buying that?
This, I'm buying it to a point, because there were some issues when he was running for Senate back against McCain back in 2010 that came up that he looked more conservative on. One was gay issues, gay rights, and there were a couple of other small things. So I'm not sure I'm buying it fully, but I can say that that's the way he wants to pitch it, because I think he doesn't want it to become an issue that he once was a Democrat. And if you look at Bill Mundell, who you led that forum with him for the Corporation Commission, mm-hmm. who went from Republican to Democrat, he also, he's real open about why he did that, but I don't think it's something that he wants to people to obsess over. So particularly when they're running for the Corporation Commission, which a lot of people think probably shouldn't be a partisan race anyway.
We have Doug Martin holding on the line. Dan, you stay on as well. Doug is the owner of Good News Communications, which owns KVOI. Doug, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to just comment on what was said about what the president said about reporters. And as he often does, he tends to exaggerate or misrepresent things. But I think we would all agree, just like I don't think there's that many bad police officers, but if there are bad police officers, they need to be rooted out. And I don't think that there's three-quarters of the reporters that are bad, but those that are need to be rooted out. I mean, what you pointed out, Dylan, about these photographs from 2014, you know, were put up as if these are current photographs. That's misrepresenting the news. And
you know, put up by whom? Which reporters put those up as if they were current? I didn't see any reporters. I saw people on Facebook doing that.
Well, no, it was. I believe it was on Newsweek. So, I mean, that's a misrepresentation. Then you look a little bit back at what Dan Rather did. I mean, you know, when the Bush was in office.
When was that?
Dan Rather, when Bush was in office.
Yeah, that was 2002.
Right. And my point is this: if a reporter actually misrepresents the news or propagandizes the news, then that reporter needs to be rooted out.
And does Dan Rather have that position anymore? What happened to him?
No, he should have been rooted out. So that's really.
I mean, how? That's your best example, Doug? I mean, come on, man, that's weak.
That's not my best.
That's really weak.
And Doug, I think of better ones. But Dylan, the whole point to what I'm saying is this: if there are bad ones, they need to be rooted out.
And certainly, that's what we do in this profession. We drum people out of the press corps if they're not doing their job. And I think reporters are like actually a little bit eager to jump on people who screw up.
But and the other question I have is why? I mean, like this facility here in Tucson's been here since 2014. There's been really no reporting on that. And what about these kids that have been basically abandoned at the border, and then they've been here for 4 years? And where are their parents? And then what about the kids that have come across Mexico and Central America and died in the desert? And you know, where's been the outrage or the reporting on that? I just think we really haven't done a great job on this. And then now that the administration blows it in a big way in the way that they handled this, now we're paying attention to it. So I'm glad for that.
To make one thing clear, I don't think anybody is saying, I don't think there's any evidence that there have been any kids held here at Southwest Key for 4 years, individual children. Certainly the facility has been there that long.
Oh, do we know how long they've been there? Do we know if they've even tried to find their parents? Do we know, you know, what they're doing with these kids? Are they just basically being warehoused, or, you know, what is the plan? I mean, nobody really has covered that.
Because they don't allow the press in. It would be, I think, an excellent thing if the government were to mandate that this be more open. Instead, they mandate that it be entirely secret.
Well, and they certainly should do that, but it's like, did the policy under the Obama administration create the problems we're facing today, where people thought they could just get kids across the border and that those kids would be home free? You know, how many kids have been risked, you know, as a result of this? What damage has been done to children, how many are in sex trafficking rings, and you know, we really haven't covered this, you know, and it should have been covered back in 2014. There should have been some outrage then.
Okay, Doug, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Doug Mart. Dan, do you want to jump in here?
I just want to Doug's point that there are bad journalists out there, and a lot of it's much more subtle than some of the cases that he pointed out. I agree with Dylan that without your integrity, you're not going to last long in this business. And when you have to point to something that happened generally on a national stage or years ago, that tells me that he's right. It's like the police officers. Most of us are good people wanting to do this for the right reasons and in it for the right reasons. And most are not like those few examples that people are able to point out and unfortunately throw at us time and time again. So
those examples are all people who were drummed out of the press corps because they did a bad job. I mean, isn't that us doing our collective duty to make sure that people who do this job are doing it well? I think those are positive examples.
Absolutely it is, and it's to our credit that we do that. But look at Brian Williams, who was just lied through his teeth, and then he eventually ends up in a much lesser position, but he's still back in journalism. I can't even look at the guy, much less look at his reporting. And it's too bad, but he was such a star, they couldn't just truly show him the door. But we know that on a very local level that most of us will never ever hear about, there are a lot of situations where people are just shown the door and don't make a big deal out of it because they didn't understand the role of what we do. It's very emotional, but we can't let our emotions direct us. And so it's a tough job. And Bill, just right before I called, I was leading two police officers on a tour of our building for a safety assessment because of what had happened in Annapolis. It has us all on edge. It will not change what we do. It will not ever change what we do, that incident. But it's a different world, and we have to be aware of certain threats, and it's a tough job.
Okay. Dan, can you stick around?
Sure.
Okay. Joe, do you want to quickly add something before the break?
I think there's a lot been said, but I'm fine.
Okay. We'll take our break right here, and it's the Buckmaster Show on a Friday, 790-2040. Give us a call. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Joe Ferguson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Dylan Smith with me in studio, both Joe and Dylan here. Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com. Dan Scheer is with us on our live line from Green Valley, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun. The supervisors, Pima County supervisors, Joe Ferguson, this week finalized the plans for a $430 million bond election to repair, well, as far as that money will go, for area roads. It's called Proposition 463. The vote was 4-1. Allie Miller, Supervisor Miller, voted against the measure, and I assume she will lead, or her friends will lead, the opposition.
Yeah, I fully expect that Allie to get involved. She put out a press release the day of the vote and said over the phone that she didn't believe that Pima County could be trusted with spending the money properly. So she's against the bond, even though the, you know, fixing roads has been her kind of top issue ever since taking office.
What's her opposition?
She has concerns. She points to different things that Pima County has never made roads a priority, and she throws kind of some red herrings out. She talks about the purchase of the bowling alley, soccer fields, the continued support for Keno Hospital as examples of money that should have gone to roads and gone to roads first. And so if the county gets $430 million, which it, of course, will only get a portion of due to how the bond is structured, the money might not be spent for roads again. And so she's argued against this, but she's also taken some very strong ideas about how this should work and has largely been not supportive of how the county spends money inside its own transportation department.
Dan Scheer in Green Valley, how will folks react to this?
I don't think that anybody expected any less from Supervisor Miller as far as the no vote, but as far as the bonds go, I think the way we think about things down here is, will I see it in my lifetime? And I don't think that anybody...
There's some subtext to that question.
Anybody believe that the roads will in front of their house are going to get fixed in their lifetime? But I do think that they see it as a big enough problem, and that the county has tried quite a few different options to get this done. And I do feel that people believe Chuck Huckleberry when he says this is pretty much the last option. So I think right now they would go for it, but do allow me to remain tentative.
Mike has called us at 790-2040. He'd like to talk about Allie Miller. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I think the reason why Allie Miller voted no is because the county for years has squandered that money on other projects instead of putting it towards road repairs. And I don't think anybody in Pima County wants another bond because of the tax rate on a bond.
Guys want to...
Or the interest rate, I should say, on a bond. It's outrageous.
Hmm. Guys want to respond at all to Mike?
Hey, Mike, do you want to give me an example of something that you think the county spent money on that it shouldn't have, that should have gone to roads?
They spent money on buildings that they didn't need, that they had...
Specifically?
They had already in existence that they made purchases on. They spent money on those soccer fields. I mean, that's just a couple of examples of where that money could have gone to the roads. Instead, they put it towards things they really didn't need. It's about prioritizing what's really important.
Mike, I'm trying to understand. Help me out here. When you say buildings, can you give me a specific building we're talking about that's been purchased recently that should have gone to roads?
This was several years ago. The county board was saying, we have buildings, but the county administrator is saying we need to purchase this other building.
I still don't know what building we're talking about.
If this was years ago, I'm doing this to the best of my recollection.
I understand. I'm just trying to understand what we're talking about. So they purchased a building several years ago that they should have used for road money, so now we shouldn't do anything about roads?
No, the problem is, and the same with the soccer field, that soccer field should never have been purchased. See, the problem is, we're not prioritizing. We're spending the money things we don't need when we know that money should have gone to the roads in the first place, and now they want to put out a bond for the road work.
All right. Isn't that all, sorry to interrupt, isn't that all a little bit water under the bridge? We're in the situation that we are in. The question now is, what do we do now to maintain some of our roads across the county? Am I incorrect in that?
I understand what you're saying, but I would never vote for that bond.
Okay, thank you, Mike, for your comments. Now Chuck wants to talk about this as well. Chuck, go ahead.
Hey. Comes to the buildings that were recently purchased. The bowling alley is one good example. Why we put all that money in the bowling alley of an old, dilapidated building that's filled with asbestos, I have no idea. Also, I can't remember what the year was. We voted down the bonds for the new courthouse and all that kind of stuff that was going. But yet, Mr. Huckleberry seems to have found the money to rejuvenate that whole project and put that back together. So I don't trust him. I don't trust him, and I'm not going to vote for those bonds.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. Gentlemen, any comments? Joe?
Well, they did vote for the new courthouse money. That's why we have a new courthouse. And in terms of the money for the bond that failed in 2014 or 2015.
15.
Sorry.
The big package.
The big package. I have to say that, you know, while voters have said no to those things, I assume those needs still exist. And, you know, when money is available, they're still going to go forward with projects. It's not a no that we're not going to do these things. It's a no that we're not going to bond for the money.
Dan, do you want to jump in here? You've heard a couple of calls, both negative.
Yeah, the first caller, I think he had some good points, but the fact is that we as a county have obligations beyond the roads. And these decisions that the Board of Supervisors are making, which, by the way, we elect them to make these decisions, are addressing some of those. So the roads may be the priority, but it's not the only thing that we're dealing with right now. And I think let me give one example of what really killed a potentially good way of fixing the roads, which was the half-cent sales tax, was, again, what we'll call that poison pill that Richard Elias put in there, where, yeah, we can have this half-cent sales tax for roads, but we're also going to take up to $50 million out of the general fund for social services. Now, no one opposes social services, but that's not what we're talking about. And he attached that to the roads, which is why that whole effort failed. And it probably was not a bad way to get the roads done, because I'm concerned about bonding for road repairs. Also, I don't think it's the best way to do it. I just think it's, at this point, it might be the only way to do it. So there is definitely some waste out there, and Allie Miller has tried to point out some of that. But I don't think there's $1 billion worth of waste, and that's how far in the hole we are when it comes to fixing the county roads.
All right, let's move on to the initiatives. This was the big week for the signatures being turned in. Dylan, what's the marquee? There are a couple of marquee issues, right? Marijuana is one of them, right?
That effort did not get handed in. They didn't do their homework and didn't gather enough signatures, so we won't be seeing that on the ballot.
That was to legalize possession of marijuana.
Yeah, they got about half the number of signatures that they would have needed, and realistically, to get something on the ballot, you need to have a very comfortable cushion on top of the required number of signatures. I think it's, what, 150,000 to put something on the ballot? They gathered about 75,000. We saw four other big initiatives get handed in with what, at least at first glance, looks like some pretty comfortable margins. Well, they still have to go through and do the spot checks to make sure that there are enough valid signatures on that. They, you have basically the Invest in Ed initiative and an initiative that would block sales tax on services.
Dark money.
And the dark money initiative. Right. And then there's one more that's slipping my mind at the moment.
But going back, probably the one that will get the most attention will be the education initiative. Wouldn't you agree, Joe Ferguson?
Absolutely. We saw the entire state turn out for the Red for Ed movement, and now this is the second aspect of it. So I really assume that a lot of time and effort will be focused on that on the campaign trail.
And this is putting an income tax surcharge, Dan Scheer, on the top 1% of wage earners to pay for education funding. The figure I saw, would we're talking about 20,000 top wage earners would have to pay more.
Right, and there are a couple of problems with it. Number one, it wouldn't generate the revenue that we need to help out the schools like they should be helped out. And number two, the responsibility lies with all of us to fund schools, and this is going after that top 1% or whatever wage earners. And so I think that they're going to come up against it on both of those points. Everyone's excited about the fact that we're now talking about education in Arizona because we just haven't talked about it for the last decade. But I don't know that this thing is really going to fly, or it could be one of those things where people say, yeah, we'll vote for it, and then they get to the polls and they actually don't.
What do you think, Dylan?
Well, to fill in my blank space, I just pulled it up, and the one that was slipping my mind is an initiative that might have a pretty big long-term effect on Arizona. It's the Clean Energy for a Healthy Arizona measure that would require electrical utilities to really increase the amount of renewable energy that they are generating. As far as the sales tax, I mean, sorry, income tax for education, if that group maintains the sort of momentum that they got this spring through everything else that's going to be going on this year as far as politics go in Arizona, I think they've got a pretty good shot. But there's going to be so much, we've got congressional races, Senate race, and, governor, all the other state offices, corporation commission, everything else. And then these local, road measures. It's a lot for people to have to think about, and will they even get that far down the ballot? Yeah.
One of our Facebook friends wants me to ask you, Dylan, what do you think of Allie Miller's new staff member? Dan or Joe Ferguson want to jump in here?
It's a question for Dylan.
Yeah, I guess it was directed at me. Allie Miller has hired another staffer for her supervisor's office. It's Lori Honeycutt, who has been running the Arizona Daily Independent blog for a number of years. Her husband recently died last month, I believe. And I guess she was looking for a new gig, and she and Allie have been very close for a number of years. I think that's fair to say. There's plenty of evidence out there that Supervisor Allie Miller and the folks behind the Arizona Daily Independent, which is referred to in other supervisors' offices as the Allie Defense Initiative, were very carefully coordinating what some people think of as news stories and other people think of as propaganda.
Dan, what do you think?
I think it's garbage. The Arizona Daily Independent is garbage. And I think this is Allie Miller's way of saying, I don't care about Pima County. I just like to fight, because that is what Lori is going to bring to that role. Everything is going to be 4-1 from here on out. Not that we didn't already expect it, but what a joke. What a shame. It makes me almost want to move back to Maricopa County.
Almost. Anyway, as a private citizen, she could continue on with the Arizona Daily Independent, right?
I don't see, you know, anything in the law mm-hmm. or policies that would bar it. Certainly there are ethical questions, but there have been ethical questions about what's been going on there for quite some time. We saw one of the other supervisors had an employee for a while. Steve Christie, Supervisor Christie, had an employee who publishes
a blog
yeah. about Vail.
Yeah, so anybody can do a blog, right?
You know, and but they were, you know, upfront and public about how that worked. The question about the Arizona Daily Independent is whether that word independent has any meaning at all.
Hmm. Getting back to the initiatives, is that going to be a big deal, Dan? You've been kind of following this ACC, Arizona Corporation Commission race, the renewable energies. Is that going to be a big issue?
You know, I think with a certain group of people it will be, but I think Dylan really hit the nail on the head that there is so much on there that at some point people just start checking out. And if something's real complex, they're not going to. It's my hope, and I think I can speak for Dylan on this too, that people really are paying attention to the Corporation Commission race this year. It's so important. It affects everybody.
Kudos on that recent story of yours, by the way.
And so, by Eric Sloan, who just shouldn't be anywhere near any sort of public office whatsoever, and he's running for Corporation Commission. Read our story, and you'll figure out why. But I hope people pay attention to this one because it's so important, and there's so much going on there that needs to be fixed.
Dan Scheer, thank you very much. We'll let you go, and appreciate you joining the conversation today. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
Joe Ferguson, what's coming up in the paper this weekend?
We've got a preview of how the city wants to spend $225 million, which parks will benefit, which ones won't, and why the word splash pad is going to be in almost every corner of Tucson starting in a few years, if voters back it.
This is going to be an interesting election because you've got the county with the roads and then the parks initiative coming on the heels of a couple of other measures where voters in the city were asked to approve more money, and they said yes. So whether or not there's room for one more, we'll see.
It's right behind the roads initiative, so the mm-hmm. question becomes, will they be willing to open their checkbooks mm-hmm. mentally for both of them?
It's going to be a long, long, long ballot. And as one of the candidates at the ACC forum I hosted said, start at the bottom and then work your way up. And
start local,
It's the local races, the mm-hmm. initiatives. That those things take a little bit more thinking about because they're not quite as high profile. You know who you are going to vote for Congress in November. Most likely, most people break on a partisan basis for that sort of thing. Although I would hope you would be thinking about those elections as well. Start at the bottom and give a little bit more consideration to those things that really directly affect your life every day.
All right. Thank you very much, Dylan and Joe. Appreciate it very much. And again, thanks to Dan Scheer. We'll be right back. Matt Russell with us with Weekend Watch. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Speaking of eating, now would be a great time to stop by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve gets up so early with his team of bakers, making sure that bread that you're going to have on your sandwich right now at Mona's Swan and Sunrise is very fresh, just came out of the oven a couple of hours ago. BuckmasterShow.com has a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of the great sponsors. All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage Correspondent, columnist, brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. This would be a great weekend to get over to Silver City. It's probably...
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more.
It's probably... That Michael Medved's coming up. It's been a crazy day here. Silver City and Grant County, 3 hours drive east of Tucson, and it's cooler over there, 10 to 15 degrees cooler. SouthwestNewMexico.org for the full listing of the great places to stay and the many things to do. All right, Matt Russell, we heard about your cruise going to Greece. My goodness, that is exciting.
I'm telling you what, this is something that we like to do about every couple of years. We're going to be touring the Amalfi Coast, hitting several stops in Italy, several stops in Greece, and I am just catching up to the Bill Buckmaster travel calendar, but I have a lot of traveling to do before I hit 100 countries like you have.
Yeah, we've done 100 and love to do some more anyway. What's going on this weekend on the watch?
Yeah, you know, our friend Kyle Nottingham, who most recently served as the executive chef at the world-renowned Miraval Spa, he's just taken over the kitchen reins at Commoner & Co., and his new summer menu is going to be revealed tonight. So try this shrimp and cantaloupe gazpacho, which I think sounds like the perfect summer starter, and a Tuscan kale and bean salad with olive dust just screams summer as well. Now, I'm also told that a gorgeous New York strip and a baby back ribs will also make appearances for those with bigger appetites. It's rustic American cuisine at Commoner & Co. over there on Sunrise and Cole, but it all starts this weekend.
Hey, you're getting in the mood for the the cruise with some Greek dishes, huh?
Absolutely. You know, we love hanging out at Pub 1922 whenever we're down in Sorita for their signature burgers and pizzas, but they've just launched a new Greek menu, as you said, this summer that will transport your palate to the Parthenon. Try their Greek salad, their Greek gyros, so even some Greek pizzas this weekend, along with some Greek-inspired libations that'll have you shouting Opa in no time. It's Pub Cuisine Gone Greek this summer in Sarita at Pub 1922.
And Matt, it wouldn't be a weekend watch without a grand opening. Quickly, where is another one this weekend?
On the corner of Speedway and Swan, it's called 7-Ounce Korean Steakhouse. And if you know anything about the Korean style, you do the cooking yourself at Tableside Grills.
Very cool. What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business?
Well, for those sick of ordering crab cakes and getting nothing more than fried hush puppies that may have a little crab in them, you'll rejoice when you discover that the case of the missing crab has finally been solved. What in the world am I talking about? You're going to have to check it out in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Always a pleasure, Matt Russell. Thank you for the watch.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show. Presented by Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. We thank you very much. A lot of people to thank. Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. But right across the glass from me, Tom Fairbanks. Thanks, Tom. Engineering and producing. Kind of a crazy Friday show here, but hey, it is live radio. What do you expect? You know, that's the way it goes. Anyway, on behalf of all of us here at KVOI, I hope you have a great weekend.